Morning, church. We are forging ahead. We're coming to the near the end of this series on soul keepers. And again, this kind of the strange partnership of actual things that transpire in this room while we're looking at this. Yet, it is also just a springboard to propel you when you're not here to delve further into the material and actually see God at work deep within your heart. So I trust that as you reflect, as you have taken notes, as you have listened perhaps online, that you would do a lot more of the harder work deep inside. Because what we've discovered is this, that just knowing a lot of spiritual truth does not necessarily in itself actually grow you to become a full, healthy follower of Jesus Christ that resembles him. And we know that you cannot become spiritually mature without also becoming emotionally mature. Church has tried that for decades. While we keep heaping Bible verses on people and telling them they need to learn more of the Bible, what happens is it doesn't deal with their emotional immaturity, and so they take knowledge in an immature way and then begin to, And we at Summit value authentic vulnerability in this process of life change, and for us, we want to make sure that we are, in a holistic way, becoming whole. We're going to learn more about that this morning, so I invite you to give us your attention, and we'll see how it goes this morning. We might even lead us all together in a spiritual exercise towards freedom. Don't run away right now. Lock the doors. No. Well, not in God's original design for his world. Woundedness is a part of our experience living in a fallen world. All of us have been, are being, or will be wounded in some way. It's the nature of life on this planet, dealing with other sinnerlings. Now, there are developmental wounds that take place in our lives, things that happen from earliest childhood, things that happen in various life stages. There are many relational wounds that take place. And, this whole dynamic of relationship, I cannot underestimate the power of dealing with relational stuff. For those of you who've been at Summit a long time, you've heard me say this numerous times. But my first mentor told me this, old Reverend Wishart said, that right relationship with God is both developed and maintained through right relationship with one another. And the church has deceived itself many, many times, thinking that they are really good with God when there's relational carnage all around them. And the scripture is so clear. Love God with your heart, mind, and soul, and love one another. If you say you love God but hate your brother, you're a liar. The truth isn't in you. So, church, it's time that we are going to wake up to this fact. There's relational wounds that happen, and there's trauma wounds that happen. It's the nature of living in our world. There's all kinds of trauma, stuff that happens to us that we never asked for. Tragedy that strikes. Natural disasters that take place that grieve our hearts deeply. All kinds of wounds. They happen at various times, in the distant past or in the recent past. Some are ongoing. But I think before we begin, we must say this. Not everyone is affected the same way by certain wounds. You can have two people go through very similar situations and one come out with little, say emotional damage. Others come through it pretty traumatized. So I don't want to read on to everyone that anything you go through, everyone reacts the same way, because you're not. You're an individual. And there's a lot of factors that are in play. So I think it needs to be said that not everyone is affected the same way. We are affected, you know, to different degrees, and various impact that it actually has on us. Now, before I go any further, however, for some of you who might be thinking, I don't want to go into this inner stuff. I just want to stay away from there. The other ditch is this. We are experts at living in denial. And you may think that just because you want to ignore something or not go there, that everything is fine. But you have no idea, actually, how your emotional woundedness of your life is already at play, and it's affecting not just you, but those people around you. You think you're unaffected by it, but actually, you are affecting, it's affecting your own soul, your own journey, and other people around you. So I just want to say, let's try to avoid some of the extremes of living in denial, that we don't need to go there. Some people think that, well, when I became a Christian, then I don't need to deal with any of this stuff. I'm a new creature. Well, remember, human beings are made up of body, soul, spirit. And when you become a Christian, your spirit is enlivened with the new nature. The Holy Spirit comes to live within your spirit. You're given that eternal new life in your spirit. Let me ask you this. As soon as you become a Christian, did your body change? Does your soul necessarily change completely? Well, there are certain things that come. I remember just recently praying with someone who received Christ. I had the opportunity to pray with some people, and one of the things she said was, "I feel so light." It had an emotional effect on him. But that does not necessarily mean that every single thing in his soul is totally transformed. His spirit, absolutely. Is that helpful for some of you that might be wrestling with, why are we doing this? Because sometimes we just naively think, and we take one passage of Scripture, and we just think that, you know, all things are new, you know, the old is gone, the new has come, and we never have to deal with anything. Well, there's partial truth in that, but it's not completely and only true at the neglect of all of the rest of the Scripture. So I just wanted to have us say, understand this. We live in a world where we get wounded. From traumatic things to relational dents happens all the time. Some of you, it stemmed from your own foolishness and your own sin. Sometimes our woundedness are actually our own fault. Not always. And oftentimes it's from other people. While I was away, Amy taught on forgiving other people, and she talked about and we need to recognize the offense, remember God's grace, release the offender, surrender to God's redemptive purpose, and reconcile what is broken. And that is the very first and very, very good and healthy and necessary step to come to a place of wholeness. You'll never get there without forgiving those who've hurt you. And perhaps some of you just need to be reminded of this today, that you've been trying to ignore it, buck it up, suck it up, be proactive, and without actually coming to the place of forgiving the person closest to you that's hurt you. It's the first and necessary step to forgive. But you may do this and discover that actually, while the offense has taken place, has been forgiven, that there's still lingering emotional issues around that. So we need to bring healing to that wound as well. So how might you know that you may be struggling with woundedness or not? Well, some are pretty obvious. There's a lot of shame. It causes us to do a lot of emotional hiding or relational hiding, low self-esteem, and feeling very insecure. For others, there's a bitterness and resentment where the hurt gets replayed and replayed and replayed and rehearsed. And with every time it does it, it just sends the root of bitterness deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. One of the ways we see your woundedness come about is the fact that we get very defensive when someone addresses an issue in our life or sees something and we react to it. We can actually then turn and become accusing, aggressive, and controlling. One of the great symptoms is just we're overly sensitive, easily offended. Some people have wrestled with fear and anxiety, and they're very pessimistic about the future. They're dejected. Emotional walls are withdrawing, keeping others out. And I know why we do this. Because we've been hurt, therefore we want to put up walls to protect ourselves. But the problem is this. When you build that jail, you think you're building a fortress of protection, but you're really building a jail that's keeping you in bondage. And you may be safe and not get hurt that way, but you are missing out on all that God has for you. So we withdraw. Others get very self-focused. They're usually not even aware of it. But everything is about them. Every conversation, everything. Something happens, they always turn it about them. There's physical manifestations too, where sometimes people just have this downcast countenance. Their heads bowed down. There's no eye contact. These are just some symptoms. The problem is this. We can easily see other people's brokenness. We can't see our own. My parents taught me a principle when I was growing up and in my ministry, and that was that hurt people hurt people. Wounded people wound people. Because in the normal ebb and flow of life, why is there such horsepower behind something sometimes? I remember one time I got a sunburn on my back, and I remember I went to church, and our church out west was very similar, warm kind of church, and someone came up, and this one guy always used to give me a hug and a little slap on the back. And when he did it that day, man, I reacted. How many of you have ever got a sliver or a splinter in your hand or finger somewhere and it got infected? Then someone shakes your hand. Whoa, then that's a difference than when you don't have a splinter or an infection there, right? How about when you have a headache and someone... Oh, I'm tempted to go somewhere. Say someone's being too loud or lively. That bothers you more than when you don't have a headache, correct? Here's the thing. There is a disproportionate response to the stimulus, like a sliver in your finger or when you have a sunburn that other people can't see. There's a disproportionate response to the stimulus. There's an overreaction. And this is what happens with us. So what we might think is just sort of a normal encounter and oops, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but that person reacts in massive ways or just really gets upset, then perhaps there's an emotional wound there because the response is disproportionate to what actually took place. Does that make sense? I just think it's helpful for a church that we understand these things. And it's helpful for you to know is sometimes if you overreact to something that might be just a person didn't mean anything by it, they weren't intentional about it, maybe they bumped you the wrong way somehow, or they didn't look at you one Sunday, or they said something that you thought was kind of, if your disproportionate response is there, maybe you want to look at the issue of woundedness. Yeah, we live in a world of woundedness, but there is very good news. There really is. And the good news found in Jesus Christ is that God heals us. God just doesn't give us coping mechanisms. God can heal wounds. Do you believe that? Psalm 147, verse 3, talking about God, he says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." This is better than just coping. This is transforming. It's healing. So I wanted to walk us through how we overcome soul wounds this morning. Just get right to the application. However, I need to give a bit of a caveat first. Do you mind? Pause button there. Not every issue or wound is necessarily demands the same process. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. And sometimes, as we mature emotionally and spiritually, we realize that the person didn't mean anything by it. Or oftentimes, even if they did, as we become more like Jesus, who actually took a lot of abuse, who was mocked, who was falsely accused, all those kinds of things, he didn't allow it to stick to his spirit. Like Teflon souls. Just slide off. But where it doesn't, then you need to deal with it. And I would also say this. If you deal with things quickly versus letting them linger, the longer you leave it, the worse it gets. Like an infection. Some of us, we want to avoid the pain of dealing with an issue with someone, but the problem is this. The longer you leave it, the harder it gets, the worse it is. And you know what? Sometimes the other person doesn't even know. They're going along with life, and you're bound. You're all worked up. They have no idea. So I'll just say before we go here, if you're, you know, honestly, so long as you don't go in the ditch of denial, if you're spiritually, emotionally mature, to actually release it to God and you can be buoyant in your spirit and it doesn't keep coming up when you're in their presence, you don't suddenly, all these feelings come back, then that's okay. That's a good thing. And deal with it quickly. So, in the normal course of events where we maybe haven't or haven't necessarily been that aware of our souls, how do we overcome them? And I think the first thing we do, here's the principles. First, the Spirit shows them. The Spirit shows the wounds. We must invite the Holy Spirit of God to search our souls and trust Him to direct you to the particular wound situation that happened. Because He knows you thoroughly and He knows you completely, and He will identify things that are affecting your soul's health. Don't try to root around in your past by yourself trying to dig up and do stuff. No. You simply, by faith, ask the Holy Spirit of God, "Would you please show me where there may be a wound that I'm ignoring, denying, that's affecting my soul?" And the Holy Spirit will bring it up. He'll show you. You don't have to go through every single painful memory, but you trust Him for the significant ones. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see..." That is, evaluate and point out to me, see if there are any hurtful way in me. You know what the literal translation of hurtful way is? if there's any way of pain in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. We got to trust God and the Spirit of God to show us. Because the Holy Spirit is very specific, and He'll lead you to identify the very thing. He'll help you to bring you to a place of wholeness and healing and freedom in Christ. At Set Free Retreat, I was teaching about this and how that the devil actually does the opposite. The Spirit, when He convicts or shows you something, is very specific, leads you right to it for the purpose of bringing you to the cross and healing in Christ so you can live in greater intimacy with Jesus and fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. Whereas the enemy of your soul actually is very vague. And he wants to lead you away from God, actually, into isolation and further sin. He's very condemning. So we need to trust the Holy Spirit. He's going to show us. Here's a second thing. We've got to own them. We must own these wounds. Sooner or later, we have to take responsibility for the baggage that we carry. Even if we didn't cause it. I'm not saying you take responsibility that it was your fault for what happened. I'm saying this. We must take responsibility for the reality and the presence of a wound that's infected in our souls. We've got to stop blaming. Stop rationalizing. Stop ignoring. And we must come to the place where we take responsibility that there is, in fact, a wound there and own it so that we can deal with it. Interesting verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said this, Paul said, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways." And friends, if I can gently say this, I want to say what Rob Reamer said in his book, Soul Care. You only become grown up when you take responsibility for your life and choose to put the ways of childhood behind you. Children always blame. Children never take responsibility, but emotionally, spiritually matured people do. And so we have to see that it is that's a reality in our own woundedness, and we're to have the process. We have to take the process in hand. We've got to process this stuff. The events that contributed to our present brokenness, and we're going to seek the healing of God. So we ask the Holy Spirit to show us. Then we don't blame anymore. We don't ignore. We don't deny. We don't rationalize. We actually own those things, because they are now a part of your life. And if you don't, who will? So then, the third thing is, the Spirit shows them, we own them, Jesus heals them. There is only one who can ultimately and fully heal your soul. You can't. A lot of people think that. I'm just going to figure this out. I'm going to learn mechanism. I am going to heal this. You cannot heal your soul. Some people, especially some Christians, think even this. God is going to help me to heal my soul. I will heal my soul. No. You cooperate. But it's God who heals. Only Christ will heal your soul and your woundedness. We've got to seek this healing in Christ. Let me show you how Jesus It was prophesied about him and then fulfilled in Luke, or in Isaiah 61 in the Old Testament, about the prophecy of regarding the Messiah as the Ancient of Days would come. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free." He took that scroll. Jesus took the scroll in the temple and he read it, and then he said, "This is now being fulfilled." Jesus was the promised Messiah, and he was going to fulfill this. In the great passage that it talks about the suffering servant, Jesus the Messiah, in Isaiah chapter 53, it says this, that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Earlier in that passage, it talked about how he carries our sorrows, our pain. And these words talked about, they are translated in different ways in the Old Testament. One is, it talks about sin. One, it talks about actually our pain and emotional turmoils. Another place, it talks about physical, actual infirmities and sicknesses. So part of the healing work of God was, yes, to forgive us and carry our sin. Yes, it was to carry our pain. And so he was wounded for all of these things. And the punishment that brought us peace, that is shalom, not only peace with God, but also that sense of well-being in our souls. The punishment brought us his peace and well-being was upon him. And by Jesus' wounds, we are healed. We have been so accustomed to only look at sin factors, we don't understand that Jesus actually is the healer to all of our being. Jesus Christ is your healer. And the key to Jesus healing your soul is your appropriation of faith. Faith in what? His substitutionary death. He carried your pain, your sin. Faith in his resurrection power, because Jesus was raised from the dead. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you by his Spirit. It is towards us. It is available to us. And faith in his manifest presence. Friends, Jesus is in this room right now by his presence, his Spirit. He's always present. But what we ask for is for him to manifest that presence in some ways. We trust him to manifest his healing presence in our soul. He is our healer. And we trust him for this. I'm going to show us a few things how in a second. But let me just highlight this issue in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul prays that out of his glorious riches, he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, in your soul. So sometimes when we look to Jesus to heal our soul wound, sometimes some people can actually just identify that wound. You just must go there, realize and identify and be honest about the pain. And it's like you come and you bring it to Christ and you say, "Jesus, you said that you died for this to bring my healing." And you trust him. And you say, "I ask you to do so now. I give this over to you." That's one way. Sometimes what has been very helpful is that the Holy Spirit in your inner person will actually lead you to a healing through a different one method or another way is to actually ask Christ, when you have identified that wound, is to ask this question: where is Jesus in this situation? Because the scripture says that Jesus is always with us. And you may have a memory or a wound, and what's your natural inclination? Our natural inclination is this: God, where were you? Because we blame God for all of our problems and our wounds. And one of the great ways in which Christ brings healing is to trust the Holy Spirit to lead you to that situation and then ask this: where are you, Jesus, in this? And then you listen with the ears of your soul, ears of your heart, or look with the eyes of your heart, because the Holy Spirit may give you a picture or some sort of scene about where that wound took place, and he will actually oftentimes reveal where Jesus was. And then you notice, what is he doing? What is he saying? Sometimes a person will see a picture of Jesus' face and he'll have tears coming down. And you see that actually Jesus is heartbroken over that. I could tell you stories about what some people have had experience when they've asked about that, and the Holy Spirit has revealed the presence of Jesus in that wound in ways that just bring healing and wholeness. Because we so often feel that Jesus is just condemning, that we're alone in it, but when we see the heart of God in those situations, that Christ is heartbroken or he's there to support and care, it often is an incredibly healing thing. Sometimes, like at our Set Free retreat, we ask people to walk through this kind of process and trust the Spirit to show them. And that what we gave opportunity for people, we had the crosses up there. And some people just need to do something where they actually take it and lay it before a cross or nail it to a cross. And there's something that transpires in that act that just releases them from the wound. At our prayer summit recently, we had people fill stuff out on cards as they walked through an exercise. And we threw them in a basket, and I took them to the fire pit after and lit them all on fire. And just to know that these things are going to be burned as an act of just a release. The Holy Spirit knows what you need about a particular wound, and he will guide you to what is appropriate for you to bring healing to your soul. You've got to trust the active work of the Spirit of God in applying the healing of Christ to that woundedness. And he does this deep work inside of us. And then lastly, when we see this process come full circle, now what happens is that God redeems them. See, the Spirit shows us our woundedness, then we must own those wounds, the reality of them in our lives, then we trust the Holy Spirit to show them to us, and then we invite Jesus into those wounds to bring healing and wholeness, recognizing that his death on the cross, his resurrection power, and the very real presence of Jesus in this moment actually can bring release and healing to those wounds, and then God redeems them. God redeems them. He uses our woundedness. He never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a hurt. He doesn't necessarily cause them, but he never wastes it. He redeems them for his purposes. He will use those things, transform them, redeem them, and put them in play again. Why? Well, first of all, for your own development in Christ-likeness. He will use that woundedness to help you become more like Jesus. as he redeems it. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. This is a wonderful promise. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. So God will take all of that, and he will cause good to come out of it for your formation, your strengthening, your becoming more and more like Jesus. Growing your character, strengthening your faith, developing perseverance. And not only that, God redeems them for your influence and your ministry to other people. Because your greatest ministry to other people often flows out of the healing of your deepest wounds. If we took the time right now and we could talk about some of your deep wounds and how, for those of you in the room whom you've seen God actually bring healing to those things, what it's done in you, and how you've used those things to actually minister to other people now, you could give testimony to that. And I think of some of the deep wounds in my heart and my life through my history, and where I've allowed Christ to actually bring healing and wholeness to those things, it now is just a part of the fabric of who I am as I minister to him and minister to people. Some of you know the pain of rejection. And as you have allowed Christ to come and bring healing to those that rejection or that abandonment, you now know how to minister in an authentic, vulnerable way to people who really are wrestling. I mean, my heart goes out immediately to young parents who've lost a child. And that deep woundedness in our own heart and my own life has somewhat equipped us to understand and feel the depth of pain of that. Some of you know that. I remember going through deep waters out in BC where a self-acclaimed prophetess brought word to me through a group of people that I was apparently abusing my wife and children. And the pain of that. And, you know, having to weather through that, walk through that. Actually be open, Lord, am I doing anything like this? Bringing Leah in on that. And having to deal with the fallout of some people who believed the false prophet and left the church. And you know those woundedness. I've shared often about the own, you know, trauma of abuse as a child and walking through that. And, you know, the affinity or the heart emotion to people who wrestling through that now. But you see, the Lord, every single time, and I'm just skimming, I could tell you lots of things, but had to take me to those places and had me to walk through that and bring that to Christ and allow the presence of Jesus to infuse that wound with his hope and remove the infection of that wound and bring healing deep in my soul. So, friends, do you know? I mean, I really want to do this, but I know we've kept you along in the past few weeks. Here's what I would suggest to you. You need to ask the Holy Spirit of God. Don't root around in your own flesh and mind. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you any particular wound or hurt. It might surprise you what he brings up. Ask him to help lead you to process that pain, to see where was Jesus in that, and have him reveal himself in the midst of that pain. Surrender it to him. Sometimes you might need to get with another trusted brother or sister who can walk through that, pray through that with you, and to receive the fullness of the healing power of Christ upon your life and your soul. Sometimes in some very extreme cases, you may need some extra help with that. But it does not negate the principle that Jesus Christ can heal you. The process might be a little longer for some, but it's true. I think that's great news, that Jesus can heal your brokenness. Have you ever let him? Because what's the alternative? You man up and you try to hide it, and what happens is it actually affects you because you manifest it in other ways so you don't have to try to deal with that. And it spills out onto everyone else. And so, in humility, we trust God. So, friends, as you venture into your life groups this week, perhaps that's a place where you may want to follow this up and to walk with each other on a different level. For some of you, you're in a triad. You know there's two or three of you that you know you have deep trust with, and you might want to bring that before them and be honest about that and allow them walk with you, praying through that. Otherwise, you'll be a walking, infected splinter. And that's not what Christ has for you, because you'll never become what he dreams for you. You'll never do what he calls you to. So, let me pray. Lord, we sang about your healing power. And you save us and heal us, not just from our sin, but from our woundedness and the pain of it. I ask you, would you help each one of us to get alone with you this week or with another trusted brother or sister or two and ask you to reveal where there's a wound in your heart, trusting you to surface what you want to deal with. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would reveal your presence in the midst of that wound. And you would release the resurrection power through your Spirit in your very real presence in the moment to bring healing to those wounds. And that we can release them and receive your healing. And that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit, transforming us, Lord, to ultimately one day be used to minister to others because you've redeemed our pain. So, Father, help us to stop hiding, stop denying, stop trying to deal with it on our own, and come to you. I pray that you'd bring release. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.